program develops great teammates and leaders to create world-class teams and has the privilege of working with more than 160 collegiate and professional athletic teams and corporations throughout North America annually. Welcome to our On the Attack podcast, where our most senior program leadership instructors draw from years of experience working with hundreds of clients and briefly share their powerful insights and thoughts on relevant team building and leadership development challenges. Today, Mac and Omri, we're going to discuss the selection and development of team captains. Now, in our last podcast, right, we talked about leaders specifically. Today, we're going to dive more into captains and how that can be somewhat different. The way we look at it, captains or captaincy, it's a tool. Because as we spoke about last time, first of all, a leader is somebody who has influence, has the ability to use that influence, and has the desire to use their influence to help the team accomplish the mission. And as we spoke about last time, we get that influence in really two ways. One is through naturally who we are, talented, charismatic, popular, whatever the case may be. But second is through our title. Titles matter. Now, of the two, who you are is much more important, but titles do matter. Captain is a title. That's just a way to give somebody on your team more influence. That can be a great thing. That can also be a dangerous thing sometimes when we give the wrong person influence, which we spoke about that last time. Now, again, we believe that naming somebody a captain is just a tool. It's a way to give somebody more influence to help them help you as the coach or leader of the organization accomplish the team's mission. Now, one of the common mistakes, and we'll get into a couple here, but one of the most common ones that I wanted to open it up with is that a lot of teams, athletic teams that we work with, we believe they have too many captains. Now, again, captain's a tool. Some years you might have two, some years you might have three, some years you might have zero. Individual coaches have their individual preferences. There isn't necessarily any cement right or wrong answer as to how many captains you have. I will say this, though. As a general rule, fewer is better. Because we will work with some teams, and I know, Omri, I know you've worked with some, where they'll have five or six captains. One of the reasons, like we talked about last time, being named the captain, that becomes more of an attaboy, becomes more of a thanks for your service. Hey, as a senior, you're captain. Then all you got to do is, well, hey, put in my time, work hard, score some goals, and I'm going to be a captain my senior year. That's not what we want to. Not what we want to use our captains for. But a couple issues arise when we appoint too many captains. One of the things to realize is if giving somebody a title gives them more influence, well, the more people we name captain that we give that title to, the more we spread that influence. So typically what happens is a lot of times we'll have maybe one athlete who he or she epitomizes everything we want our program to be about. They live up to our core values. They have the desire to be leaders, all those things. But then we've got a couple other seniors. We've got a couple other great players who we don't want to disappoint. So now we name four or five captains. Now we've just taken influence away from that athlete who we really want them to have it, and we spread loaded it and given it to other people. So we're reducing their individual effectiveness as leaders. One of the other issues that I've seen when we have too many captains is that we run into an issue where a problem arises and the captains all just look at each other, wondering if somebody else is going to step up and take it, right? Now, I don't necessarily believe that there has to be one and only one captain, but usually, typically, that's the way we do things in the Marine Corps or the way we do things in the military. And I remember going through my initial training, one of the sayings that we'd hear a lot is, "What now, lieutenants?" Meaning, you know, in my training, it was pretty unbelievable to me that at 23 years old, that I was going to have men and women who have been in the Marine Corps for 20 years looking at me for guidance in those situations. But sure enough, you know, my first time in overseas in combat, and this was post-combat, but we had a vehicle accident, and I happened to be it wasn't one of my Marines, but I was the only officer on scene, and I had these senior Marines all look to me, not necessarily for guidance, but nope, I was in charge. Hey, Lieutenant, what are we doing? And that kind of shook me in that, well, okay, I had to know that, well, I got to run this show. But we have a lot of teams where maybe they have five captains and something happens. Instead of that one or two people stepping up, knowing that they have to take charge, everyone just looks at each other like, oh, Omri, are you going to step up? Mike, are you going to step up? And then the ball goes by us or whatever the case may be, and we don't deal with that problem. We want to make sure that our captains understand that they're responsible for everything that happens or fails to happen. You want to add to that, Omri?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at, if you look at the context of a team, you look at the context of an organization, there's a reason there's one GM, there's a reason there's one head coach, right? There could be an associate, but ultimately in a hierarchy of things, we need people to make to have the ability to make those decisions to drive us to where we need to get to as a team. And not to say that you're not going to take into consideration other voices, but ultimately less people making decisions game time is going to create some efficiencies and allow us to move through these processes a lot easier. I also think there's a tendency when naming captains of, hey, we don't want to hurt people's feelings, and not in the context of what we spoke about last episode, where bad attitudes, sometimes you legitimately have 3, 4, 5 athletes on your roster that are just great human beings and they've earned it and it's their senior year and they might be awesome. It doesn't change the fact that when things hit the fan, it's not going to be helpful for the team. There's a tendency to look at things from the lens of, hey, what if everything goes great? The reality is resilient teams and resilient organizations, those people leading them should have the ability to look at things if they go well, but you should also ask yourself, yeah, well, what if it doesn't? What are some negative implications for me putting too many people in charge? Keep that in mind prior to making your decisions. Again, captaincy is a tool. There's not one way that works. Something else might work every other year, but figure it out and just put a lot of thought into who you're naming, because, hey, taking away a title is a lot more difficult than putting someone in it. And that can create a lot of damage to a culture. The next phase or the next issue that we're going to see is this. Again, we're speaking with coaches, leaders on the professional side, on the collegiate side, and through sitting in that leadership chair, in that leadership seat for a long, long time, you have the ability to identify potential. You might see someone that has real sparks and you think that, hey, if they just get a little nudge, right, you just push them in the right direction, they're going to flourish and they're going to turn into everything you've ever hoped for. And that right there is one of the biggest traps that we've seen. And this is why. So you've identified an athlete and she's awesome, he's awesome, and you see in them everything you're looking for, but they might not see it in themselves yet. So you put them in a captaincy role, right? You give them the title because you want them to step up. And I'll tell you why this is dangerous. And you're probably thinking of someone that you did this with and it worked in the past. And the problem is, the danger is, it actually works. Here's the second problem. It works once every 10 years. And then you're holding on to dear life for that notion of that one unicorn that showed up and actually evolved and did what you expected them to do. And you're stuck with 9 pretty mediocre captains for the following 9 years until the next one shows up. Now, again, let's separate. You can develop people as leaders. If someone has the ability, right, they have the influence, the desire to use it, the ability to communicate. If they have those things, we can develop them as leaders to where hopefully at some point they're going to earn and want to be captains of the team. But we're not going to give them that title because you don't want to be at a place where you need to take it away. Mac, what are your thoughts on that?
I think one of the most important things, and we did a prior podcast on this, is being able to develop our subordinate leaders. Because if the first time somebody has to lead is when they're wearing the C, man, that's a roll of the dice. Just like you said, that sometimes it works. Most of the time it does not, right? So that's why giving people some responsibility using the task condition standard method that we talked about earlier, that can be a great way of, one, developing them, but also evaluating them so that you know by the time that they're older, like, all right, this person fits our core values. This person fits who we are, and they can be an effective leader, rather than just all of a sudden somebody becomes a senior and we pat them on the back and say, congratulations, you're the captain, go forth and do great things, which again, that's a roll of the dice.
That is such a big point. And I know we've discussed three topics that we're going to cover in this, but I think this is worth mentioning. People are going to earn the title, then they're going to get it. They're not going to get the title and then earn it. There should be no question marks when it comes to delegating responsibilities in titles for people on our rosters, whether it's a company or a team. We need to know that the person is a good fit for what it is that we're asking them to do. If they never get developed and we don't actually test that capacity, it's a shot in the dark. Not developing leaders is dangerous. And it happens oftentimes on the teams that have really good leadership this year. And maybe you've had a freshman that showed up, or maybe you have, you know, there's this veteran pro on your roster and he's been here for the past 6 years and he's been great. Well, they're going to leave one day. What's happening after? Part of their job as leaders is to help you develop the people that are going to take their place. But we need to start developing some sort of pipeline as an organization of how are people moving up in the ranks? How do we figure out and filter who is going to take the next steps? So what tasks are they getting? It's not leading on the field. Okay, great. It's going to be leading in the clubhouse, leading in the locker room, leading warmups in the weight room. There's so many things, and Mac, probably worth talking in terms of task condition standards. What are some of the great ways that we've seen to implement this methodology to put people in place? That I think it's worth diving in. I know we kind of went off subject here, but that's developing people. Having ideas, easy. Having a nice organized org chart of who sits where, easy. The work happens in the actual development. That's where it is. That's what we do, right? It's not about the events. It's what happens after. Mac, final point that I would love for us to cover, love for you to shed some light on. Selection. What do you think, and what have you seen to be some of the most effective ways to select captains? What works? What doesn't? What would you avoid?
I think one of the most important things to realize with this process, just like we talked about at the beginning, captain's a tool. It's a title we're giving somebody to give them more influence. I would encourage coaches to be humble and to be flexible, meaning that we work with some coaches that are like, oh, I don't do captains. That's just not what I do. And sure, maybe there are some years when you don't have captains, but some years that can be a tool you can give. If you have the right person, you can give them more influence. Or some coaches that will say, well, we always do things one way. We always vote, or we always do this, and this is what worked for me. Yeah, just realize that some years you're going to have different teams. Some years you're going to have different challenges. We encourage you to be flexible. Some of the things that I've worked, or some of the things that I've seen not work, one, when we talk about the voting process, right? Making things a pure democracy. That can work out sometimes. And a lot of times you're left with a captain, you know, who's now going to be your captain for the season, who you don't agree with as a coach. Because a lot of times what happens is, well, people are going to vote for, like we talked about in the last episode, they'll vote for the best player, or, you know, who's the most charismatic, or who's kind of the social leader, or who's their friend a lot of the times. And that's not necessarily the person that's going to do the best job of helping use their influence to accomplish the mission. If we're going to use the straight democratic process, I think it's extremely important that we have our right, the right culture in place, you know, and I'll give you an example of a team that I think does it right. And Tufts Lacrosse, who's been a longtime client of ours, very successful team. They vote for captains, but their culture is so amazingly tight that the players, they're not voting for their buddy. They're not voting for necessarily the best player. They're voting for the leaders who they believe are going to be most effective at using their influence to help the team accomplish the mission, to help the team win a national championship. That's what they're looking at. So in that case, a pure democracy or pure vote, it works very well. On some teams, maybe if you're coming into a new program, that's not going to work very well because you're going to end up with somebody who you don't want in a leadership role. So one of the things that we used to say, maybe one of our recommended processes is something along the lines of, you know, players vote, but coaches count. I learned recently, that's a kind of a bastardization of a Joseph Stalin quote, so I don't use it anymore. But one of the processes that we've seen that I thought was really cool, that I thought was really effective, another highly successful program and coach that we work with, Mike Morgan at Merrimack Lacrosse. The way they do it is they vote, but it's all above board. And the way they vote, and first of all, you know, one of the things that we know a lot of programs do this, but, you know, athletes actually have to, you know, put their names in the hat to be captain, and they have to get up in front of the team and explain why they should be captain and what a captain's actually going to do for the program and what they're going to do for the program. A lot of programs do that. But I thought what Merrimack does, which is cool, is that then they have a vote, and this is all above board, but basically they count the votes, the players vote, the team vote, that counts for a third, the assistant coaches, their vote counts for a third, and the head coach gets his own third. So in order to be captain, you have to win 2 out of 3. So that just, it almost never happens where the head coach and the assistant coaches are going to disagree, right? But in theory, I guess it could. You have to win 2 out of 3, and it's all above board. So there's nothing sneaky there. But what that does is that, yeah, if the players all vote for the most powerful or the most popular person, but the coaching staff doesn't believe that's the right fit, then that person's not going to be captain. So I found that to be a very, very effective way to keep things above board, to not be sneaky about it, to not feel like we're losing trust, but also to make sure that we don't get the wrong person in that situation. But some years, maybe it can be, again, if you're a new coach going into a new program, maybe you and your staff appoint captains. Maybe you don't vote, because you haven't had enough time to recruit your players, to establish your culture. So maybe then you do have to appoint people, right? Again, captain's a tool, right? There's no necessarily right or wrong way to do it, and every program is different. Just realize that we're going to be flexible. We're going to make sure that we put the right person, which is different, can be different every single year with every single team, but we're going to put the person in our role that's going to help us accomplish the mission. Omri?
Well said. I think we've covered all the points that we wanted to today. I think the final issue that we see that's quite common is teams don't hire the program enough. Let's be real. That's what we do. That's what we do every single day. That's what we take pride in, right? The past 20 minutes for us is part of our workday. This is all we do and all we talk about. And obviously always a pleasure spending time here with you, Mac, and hoping these conversations add value to anyone that listens, the teams that we get to work with, and the teams that we get to work with, that we'll hopefully get to work with in the future. If anyone ever listens and has a question, comment, feedback, or more importantly, future topics, not more importantly, but future topics that you'd like us to cover, please let us know. And yeah, we'd be fired up to team up with you and your organization. That is it. Mac, floor is yours.
Thanks, Omri. The program and this podcast mission is to develop great teammates and leaders to create world-class teams. We hope we have done so. For more in-depth conversations, check out the program podcast and gain unparalleled insight into team cohesion, leadership development, and personal growth with program CEO and founder Eric Kapitulik as he speaks with corporate leaders, professional athletes, coaches, and authors. Our book, The Program, Lessons from Elite Military Units for Creating and Sustaining High-Performance Leaders and Teams, can be found at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. To sign up to receive our monthly letter on leadership or to learn more about the program and our leadership development and team-building services for your own team, go to theprogram.org. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at theprogram.org and on LinkedIn at the-program-llc. If you have any questions or would like us to address a particular topic in a future podcast, please contact us. Finally, if you have enjoyed today's On the Attack podcast, please leave a review of it from whatever platform you have accessed it from. Thank you and attack.